Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off.
Almost 3,000 years ago, over 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah preached the heart of the gospel that would be perfected in Jesus Christ. Jesus' ministry of healing and in teaching, his death, his defeat of death and resurrection, and his return to his Father. Let me read verses 10 and 11 again. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word has gone out, and it did not return to him without accomplishing all that he intended. Jesus Christ is that word. He is the light and the life and the very essence of God. Like words reveal the heart and the mind of the speaker, Jesus reveals the heart and mind of God the Father and Creator to all of us. He is a living bridge between God and creation, being both God and man. He has been restored to his place alongside the Father, and in him all creation is held together. His death and resurrection has accomplished the reconciliation of perfect righteousness and justice with boundless compassion and grace. All of creation is sustained by his success. The Holy Spirit, through Isaiah, calls out this Easter morning to every person who is listening to this, everyone who will hear. Let me read verses 1 to 3 and 6 to 7 again. This is the direction. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and deliver and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And he, the Lord, will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If you identify with this hunger and this thirst this morning, then God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, calling you to search for him, and to repent. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Now sometimes God just bursts into our lives in an unguarded moment, totally unexpected. But often, and I personally think most often, we must search for God. We must search for him if we wish to encounter him. Other Christians, worship times like this, acts of service, and especially God's Word, the Bible, are all important aids to our search process. Searching for God is usually a process that teaches us our need for him while we search. Matter of fact, that's maybe why God remains hidden, until we can recognize the extent of our need and appreciate it when he reveals himself. We are much more likely to recognize and appreciate our encounter with God if we are looking for him when he reveals himself. Our search can be complicated by our selfish tendency to direct God, to tell him the means and the modes and the methods by which he must bless us, rather than seek and to call him on his own terms. God is not interested in empowering us to live selfish lives. We already have too much power and too much opportunity to build our lives around our greed, our pettiness, our lust, our vindictiveness and exploitation, and bad temper, to name a few of our most popular motives. If we wish to encounter God, we must first quit acting as if we are God. And this is the heart of repentance. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We must forsake selfish actions and unrighteous thoughts if we would encounter God. Repentance is turning from our selfishness to God's self-sacrificing love. There can be no encounter with God if we are still acting as if we are God. There can be no forgiveness unless there is repentance or turning on our part. Now, technically, that's not exactly true. It is true that Jesus forgave the soldiers who were crucifying him even without their repentance when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those soldiers were just as ignorant of their forgiveness as they were ignorant of their sin in the first place. Though they were spared divine annihilation in that moment, they were still no closer, even with the forgiveness of Jesus, they were no closer to God for having been forgiven. They were forgiven, but they weren't reconciled. forgiveness that leads to reconciliation, the healing of the rift between us and God, to an intimate friendship with God, to having Jesus in our heart, is how we learned it when we were little. That kind of reconciliation requires repentance on our part. Until we understand the offensiveness of our selfish actions, the destructiveness, not just to ourselves, but those around us and even to our whole world. Until we understand the offensiveness of our selfish actions and attitudes to the loving heart of God, we can't appreciate God or our forgiveness. Until that point, we're just using God like we use everything and everyone else in our life. If I bought a city block in the middle of town, and I invested enormous amounts of time and all of my money and creative love into building a beautiful park and making it open to whoever wanted to come to provide a place to sit and rest, gardens, maybe even a small playground for the kids. And when people did come in, they weren't appreciative of it. They didn't help maintain it. They simply defaced it. Tearing out the gardens and taking the plants that were there to plant in their own backyards. Carving up the trees with initials and graffiti. And dumping all the junk that they didn't want in their yard into that lot. There's only one reasonable, rational, and emotionally healthy response to the injury done to my loving anger, my loving effort, and that is anger. Now, what I do, particularly as a human being who tends to think selfishly, what I do with that anger should not be determined by the passion of that anger and my resentment of what others have done, if I am to act faithfully. But having anger is legitimate. And using the emotional energy of it to forge a path to say, I can't just pretend this didn't happen. In a relationship, it happens when we realize that we can't just forbear this offense to us by our partner. We need to talk to them about it. Now, we can blow up and spout all over and spew all over and create more destruction than we started with. Or we can let the anger insist that we must speak of this. And we must build a bridge of reconciliation and do something with it. Now, if we do that, we can build a path that restores our relationship with one another and reestablishes, in my case, with the park, better boundaries with the community. And it keeps the park viable and our relationship ongoing. Now think about what humankind, what we have done to our planet, to each other, and multiply the offensiveness, the sorrow, and the hatefulness of it all a million times. Even with God, there must come a point when love must demand accountability and justice. Otherwise, compassion devolves and degrades into codependency, enablement, and for us, we will eventually destroy ourselves. Without repentance, the cycle continues until there is no recourse but either ruin and death or judgment and death. With repentance, God can do the unexpected and the utterly undeserved. He can forgive and He can reconcile us to Himself. He can rebuild that bridge. If we will seek and call out to our God, if we will repent and confess that our selfishness is destroying us and others, if we will accept the truth that God owes us nothing, and that we have systematically and selfishly defiled all that he has lovingly and joyfully created, then God can and he will take the ashes of our life and reform them and rebuild them. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God will abundantly pardon. He will do this if we return to him, which means if we will recognize that he is God and that we are not, and surrender control of our lives to his powerful and loving Spirit. This is the heart and the soul of repentance. And I would add once again, because I grew up being taught that it was a free gift. And yes, that is true. And yet, God does require that we give him everything that we are and everything that we have to receive that gift. Holding back. We'll spend the rest of our life figuring out what we have held back when we said we were going to give him everything. And God will say, you need to let go of this now. You're ready and you need to do it. It will hurt. It will be scary, but you need to let go of it. And we'll spend the rest of our life really letting go of the things that we thought we'd surrendered to him when we prayed the prayer. But he wants all of it. None of it is worth enough to purchase what he gives in return. But he wants all of us. Instead of surrendering us to our own dark hearts or subjecting us to his own utterly justifiable judgment and anger, God will forgive us and he will transform us and our ways. He will transform our thoughts until they are very much like his own. As that transformation starts to work in us, we will begin to know the joy and the peace that he knows within himself. Joy and peace he has always intended to share with us. God has not forgotten about justice. God is not offering amnesty. Amnesty is to forget the wrong and to let it go, because either it can't be prosecuted or there's no known way to go forward unless we just simply forget all that has happened. But God doesn't forget, because then he would have to forget justice and then love would devolve. God remembers. The difference is that he takes on the penalty for justice. He takes it into himself. We don't have to face it. In Jesus Christ, who is perfectly and completely God and perfectly and completely man, God has taken on in himself the demands of justice so that he can offer the abundant pardon of love to us. And I can't tell you how it happens. I don't understand and can't explain to you how it is, but it is. I can only tell you that because Jesus Christ was crucified to death and then defeated death and rose again to life, that God has done the impossible. He has secured our abundant pardon. He has secured joy and peace while affirming and obliging holiness and justice. Nothing is lost. It all comes together. In God, he eats his cake and has it too. Our part is simply to seek and to call for him and to repent. And repentance is to declare that we are responsible for our choices. To have some understanding of what that means. And second, that we have become helpless in our own sin. Helpless and vulnerable to death, and there's nothing we can do to change that. And we can't even change ourselves. And finally, to surrender to him and to depend on him for our rescue. This is the gospel. This is the great victory and the promise of Easter, that we may trade the rags of our brokenness and our guilt for the joy and the peace of God's loving kindness. The only thing that could possibly increase the joy of this day and the joy that every believer here has in Jesus Christ this morning is if any one of you here in the sanctuary or listening who has not eaten and drunk from the fullness of Jesus Christ, if anyone here who is thirsty and hungry for real food for the soul would come, seek, and call out to God in repentance and trust. God will be found if you seek him. God will hear if you call out to him. And God will abundantly pardon and bless you with the power of his Holy Spirit, so that your life will be joined to his, that your heart and mind will be transformed to be like his own. Let's pray. Lord God, to any heart that is out there, give them the words that they need to surrender if they wish, to repent and turn to you. And it is better that we find those words on our own than repeat some magical incantation. Pray, Lord God, that you would speak into the heart of anyone seeking you and to give them courage to continue to look. I pray, Lord God, that you would appear to them and speak to their heart. And if we would believe in our heart and confess with our lips that you are the Christ, that you are the one who can save us, that if we give you all that we are, all that we have, and we determine to save you and be transformed by your Spirit, then you will do it. You will start that process. We lift our heart and soul to you this morning, Lord God, and ask that you would draw us close to you in reconciliation. For we ask it in the power of the blood of the risen Christ. Amen.